ready to sharpen your shovels. And we want to welcome Kelly Banks Tree Service as one of our sponsors right here on the Green Country Gardener Program. All righty, rise and shine, sharpen that shovel, as Larry always tells me to do. It is time now to take a little trip, so to speak, to the lawn, to the garden, and elsewhere where things grow pretty and green and have a better scent than I do. How are you doing, sir?
Pretty good. 111 over 55, 60 beats per minute.
There you go.
No, 50. Yeah, 50.
But did you go see the doctor? Do you have one of those contraptions you can just do on your cell phone?
Well, went to both, but okay.
So you got a clean bill of health, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Not bad. Not bad for my Medicare checkup, but
and you know, folks, if you've seen Larry looks like he's probably about 40. You know,
yeah, really.
And he's in better shape than most guys, half or even two-thirds his age. So.
Yeah, nothing like fresh air and sunshine and good hard work.
Good hard, indeed, and a cool truck.
Yeah.
How old's that truck?
It's 35.
35.
Actually, 36 this year.
36.
Uh-huh.
My goodness sakes. Still runs like it's brand new.
It's older than some of my employees. In fact, almost all of them, really. Anyway, it's
what
time.
What we got going?
Golly, it's time to plant those annuals and perennials in the garden, and we're starting to get some periwinkles in. Periwinkles are a very popular annual for around here because they take the heat.
They take it pretty well.
They take the heat, yeah, very well. But they do require sunshine. They do require good drainage, and they do not like cool nights. So anyway, so we got some in and got more on the way. Just the first waves in right now, so I know people are really wanting them. And they will begin to grow real well when the nighttime temperature gets above, say, 50 to 55 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Then they will start to take off a little bit. I guess when the tomatoes lose all their purple leaves, you can plant the periwinkles, put it that way.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah, people say, what's wrong with my tomatoes? It's got really nice-looking purple leaves. Well, when the temperature is cool, the tomato plant cannot take up potassium. Which is the K, you know, NPK, yeah. And it the leaves characteristically turn purple and they get somewhat diminished in size. As soon as we get some consistent warm temperature, they should pop out and do just fine.
Yeah, we're working on it.
You guys, you need to get busy on this. Come on. But So don't over fertilize them. Don't try to do it. If anything, I guess get a hair dryer on them maybe to warm them up.
There you go.
But nonetheless, yeah, my tomatoes at home, they got purple leaves, but that happened last year. It was kind of cool early in the spring, sort of like it is now, but they'll pull through okay. They are, however, actively growing roots, so which is utmost important, and having good tomatoes is a good root system. So hopefully you've got your soil all prepared when you plant them, et cetera, et cetera. I was working on my tomato patch two nights ago, got the tiller out, and it's just wet. I think it was a whole thing just bogged down out of sight. So, but anyway, maybe tomorrow I'll be able to get rid of tomatoes. But the ones in the pots are doing okay.
Very good.
Anyway, we have a good selection of tree and shrubs right now. Stuff's starting to come in. The growers are actually releasing some of their stuff. The local growers, say in Tahlequah and all that, those areas, Park Hill, they've had a bit of a difficulty with the cold, and they've delayed shipment on some plants.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, we're anticipating the arrival of some new crepe myrtles. So to take the place of the ones that might have gotten zinged a little bit in the cold.
Uh-huh.
And really, the crepe myrtles, I've seen some people's are coming up just fine, and some just simply are not coming up anywhere above on the stem. For instance, you had these tree form crepe myrtles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to have to start all over again on that.
Oh, boy.
Yep. So there are some cultural practices you can follow. I would go ahead and let them bush out and grow up from the bottom and then choose, say, maybe June or so, when we've had some good warm weather and they really start their growth spurt. As they come up from the ground, pick out anywhere from 3 to 5 of the strongest, best-looking canes and retain those and cut out the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And try to go ahead and grow back a tree-form crepe myrtle from that. So It is possible, and they do grow pretty quickly. You know, it might take a couple of years to get to where they were, or 3 years, or 4 years.
It'll take some time.
It'll take a little bit of time, but you will get some show on them. So that's why I say maybe the first year, go ahead and let them bush out from below and form a bush form crepe myrtle. That way you'll have a lot of blooms on them because they have a heavy root system to support that top. So you will have some significant bloom show on your crepe myrtles as mm-hmm. they emerge from the ground when the time comes for them to bloom. So because of that heavy root system, you will have a really nice blossom show.
There you go.
So don't hesitate to fertilize them as time goes on. And they will probably need a little bit to help them out mm-hmm. some this year. So nothing, don't go overboard with though. Just your normal.
A little average, dash will do you.
Just normal applications mm-hmm. of fertilizer. And people's azaleas, too, they're starting to show or make a presence or starting to show what they're going to do this mm-hmm. year. We've been in kind of this time zone where we don't know what's going to happen with these plants. Only Mother Nature will let us know. And I'm having difficulty with my oak trees in the backyard. The leaves aren't emerging out on those either.
Oh, boy.
But every day I see a little bit more coming out. So I think eventually it'll emerge enough to where there'll be at least some semblance of a tree.
Well, like we said, like you said, this winter was a little unusual, and we did have that little bit of a zap, and that's kind of, the timing is just a little bit off.
Well, we've gone years and years and years and years without really a significant long cold spell.
Correct,
and the plants just aren't used to that, so we've had some difficulty. And some of the plants we plant, admittedly, are zone 6. We're zone 6.5, maybe zone 6.5, mm-hmm. closer to zone 7. We planted a lot of them like that because mm-hmm. We've had some consistent warm winters for the last few years. Mm-hmm. Well, why not? Let's give it a shot. Well.
Here comes that other 0.5.
We had a zinger. We live in that climatic zone where anything can happen.
Well, that's for sure.
Weather-wise, cold-wise, heat-wise, tornado-wise, anything can happen.
I've seen all four seasons in one day since moving here. I'm just telling you, I have.
Yeah, yesterday was kind of a good example. It started out really cold, and then it got real windy and cloudy. Then it rained. We had hail at the nursery.
Yeah, we did, just a little bit here
thunder.
At the station, yeah.
And then it went away. Then it got kind of downright hot.
Four, yeah.
I was at a customer's house, and I said, well, there's one thing you can count on is this Oklahoma weather, it'll change.
Oh, yeah. Wait 5 minutes.
Yeah, any minute now, yeah. So, and that could be kind of tough on some plants, too. They're used to being, you know, just happy as a clam in this climate. Then all of a sudden, whoa, what happened? So it's just part of the deal. But anyway, a lot of these plants that got killed off in the colder, they'll come back. The Nandinas are one that took kind of a hit, too. And I kind of followed, I just cut mine down, and they're starting to come back, so.
Let's go to the phone and take a call here on the Green Country Gardener Program. Good morning. You're on the air with Larry. Hi.
Hi. I heard him talking about the crepe myrtle, and I'm wondering if the same thing is true for the dwarf crepe myrtle as he was talking about. Yes. Treat it the same way? Is that?
Yeah, treat them the same way, yeah. The dwarf crepe myrtles get, you know, about 6 to 8 feet tall, and so.
Okay.
So they will. The dwarf crepe myrtles will probably bounce back to their typical height sooner than the regular crepe myrtles just because they don't have that far to go.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, you do have a fairly heavy root system in the ground, so that will feed the top and it will recover fairly quickly.
Now, should we cut them back to the place where the growth is coming out? Or
I'm telling people just to hang on to it for a while and see if something comes out on the stem. You can cut back down to the, you know, look for the dead wood on it and cut that out at least. So.
Okay.
And then, chances are some of them are coming back up actually from way up on the top, some of them, but depending on where the sun was when it got cold. So.
So just wait and see.
Yep.
Okay. And on the azaleas you mentioned, mm-hmm. should we cut those back or just wait and see on those too?
Yeah, kind of a bit of both on that. Now, what you can do is scratch the stem. You can use your thumbnail. I've about worn out my thumbnail scratching people's azalea stems all the time. Anyway, and see where the green is below the stem. And typically, it will emerge from that. There will be some adventitious growth in that green area, and it will come back.
Great. So, okay, thank you.
All right, thank you for calling.
All right, and we've got more of the program coming up in just a little bit after this two-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Rentals. One of our greatest advantages is that we do know people. We are local. Yes, we've got corporate buying power and corporate leverage, but, you know, we're going to be at the local grocery store. We're going to be at the local ball games. We live here. We've got kids in school here. You know, we're going to see you again. We are here to find out what people's needs are. We're here to take care of their needs and to do it at a competitive price. We're up here on the southeast corner of Highway 60 and 75, 3801 No Water Road, United Rentals.
Spring is here at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. And Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of annuals, perennials, herbs, trees, and shrubs arriving daily. It's a must-see what they have in stock. Get ready for spring at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home to Bartlesville's largest plant selection. Discount days are back. Every Wednesday, take 10% off regular priced items. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5, Sunday.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, National Service Officers.
We've got an entire generation of men and women who have seen war. They're going to need voices.
Paralyzed Veterans of America represents them.
Changing lives, building futures. That's Paralyzed Veterans of America. To learn more, visit pva.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program with Larry Glass. I'm Tom Davis. It's 821, 64 degrees, a little bit of cloud cover. You know, you can get on our program today if you've got a question about the lawn, garden, anything in between, at 1-800-749-5936. Larry.
One popular plant that people like to plant in their gardens are begonias.
Mm-hmm.
We have lots of those. They're, the flower's pink. Red or white flowers on them. The leaves can be mm-hmm. red or they can be green, and they can grow from mostly sun, a little bit of shade maybe, to almost full shade, kind of a medium halfway sun or shade. They do very well. And we have the whopper begonias, which basically is a begonia that looks like it had an air pump on it. It just blew up. You know, they're great big old plants. Anyway, so we got some of those. Mm-hmm. They're doing quite well. We have a great selection of elephant ear bulbs too. Elephant ears, you know what they are, the big giant leaves.
Oh, yeah.
Tropical looking. They're real popular around swimming pools and waterfalls and things like that.
Yeah. Well, I lived in Florida. Everybody had one in their front yard.
Oh, yeah.
It seemed like it.
But anyway, they do very well here. They've been kind of perennials for the last few years, but this year they didn't do it.
No.
Nope.
Didn't quite make the cut.
One lady came in and said, this is the first time, the first year of this last winter that I didn't take out my elephant ear bulbs, and they all got zapped. So, yep.
That's aren't these about the size of a football?
We have some that are,
The bulbs? Yeah.
Almost the size of an Easter ham.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, they're not that big, no. Okay. They're pretty good size. And if you threw one, it'd probably hurt pretty bad when it hit. But they're big and heavy, yeah. So, anyway, and some smaller ones, too. Mm-hmm. So, we got plenty of those on hand. Get them in the ground. I did an experiment and planted one in my yard just to see how well it'll do. Hadn't come up yet, though. Mm-hmm. They do like warm soil.
They do.
So they will develop a root system, but they really won't grow too much until the soil temperature reaches 65 to 70 degrees. A little ways away from that now. So anyway, don't give up on them. They'll be up soon. Let's see. Don't forget, when you get your annuals, get some kind of fertilizer. We have some Color Star fertilizer, which works very well for annuals. They really like that stuff. And it's time to fertilize Bermuda and Zoysia lawns too. I did mine a couple weeks ago, and it's starting to show right now. And you see a place I missed. But oh well. New spreader, so I got to get it broken in good. But, and that narrow little curb strip along there, they're such a pain in the neck to fertilize. So I got one of them hand crank. I think. Mm-hmm. It works just fine.
There you go.
Or even a liquid fertilizer will work on that, perhaps, to get a more accurate application of fertilizer. So anyway, so that's done too. Also, zoysia grass needs to be fertilized too. And fescue. It's getting. It's not quite June yet, but when first of June, middle of June hits, it's time to stop fertilizing that fescue grass, and just maintain its watering. You really, because it's a cool season grass. You really need to let it slow down a little bit in the summer, and also look at the color of your grass. If it really isn't a really nice green color at this point in time, you probably need some extra nitrogen on the soil.
There you go.
It'll tell you, the color will tell you, and that's how I can tell the little curb strip, which I think I'm just going to brick it over. and your main lawn, there's a big difference in color between the two, so so that's a Sunday project, just to get that fertilized and watered in. So anyway, I like to add a little extra iron to the to your fertilizer when you do it. Iron sulfate darkens that color real well. And sulfur helps too, so that'll help to enhance the color without having too much growth on your lawn too. Bermuda's a little bit slow here and there due to the cool weather we had. We had some die off on some people's Bermuda lawns here and there, but it'll come back. I've seen a little bit of spring dead spot too on some Bermuda lawns. Spring dead spot is just this patch, irregularly shaped patch of just dead grass. It's a fungus, and I've seen just some of that this year. If you have the spring dead spot, you need to try to get rid of the dead grass. Just dig it out, and you can take plug. Ooh, look at that car. Ooh, it's a 59 Ford. But but anyway.
Shiny penny.
Yeah. So, yeah. You need to dig out the dead grass and cultivate the ground a little bit and take some plugs from the surrounding Bermuda grass, and it'll fill in quicker.
Yeah. To the folks at home who don't have color sets, we have just a spectacular view of Frank Phillips Boulevard in Bartlesville today.
I was looking at you.
Big windows. Next thing you know, the
59 Ford goes down the road.
Right down the road. It's like, well, what do you know?
Beautiful car.
Just want to explain where that came from.
Another thing on your lawn, the weeds are having a heyday, so you can use a post-emergent weed control on that. We have a weed out with Q. And Q is a quinclorac, which is an herbicide that controls grassy weeds, too, in Bermuda grass. It's sort of the new form of MSMA. MSMA was kind of an old herbicide that was sold both for the professional market and, you know, post-emergent broadleaf weed and some grasses controlling in your turf, too. Mm-hmm. It was also available from the home market, primarily for crabgrass control. However, because one component of the herbicide is arsenic.
Oh, well, there you go.
The U.S. Use of MSMA has been restricted considerably, actually, primarily due to groundwater concerns. So MSMA is generally not available to the homeowner. Mm-hmm. You can go down to the feed store and get a 55-gallon drum of it, but you can't buy a quart bottle of it. So it's they only allow it use currently in cotton and limited use on golf courses, sod farm, then maybe highway rights of way. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing they can really use MSMA for. The answer to that is quinclorac. Mechanically, it works similar to MSMA, and it is safer to use from the groundwater concern. It will make your Bermuda grass a little bit sick for a while. So just face that too; it'll happen, but it'll come back.
That kill it makes it stronger.
At least you don't have to mow it for a few weeks, you know. That way. But crabgrass can be a tough one to control, especially as it ages. So, if you're looking at your lawn and you do see crabgrass coming up, you want to put something on it. If you don't want crabgrass, you need to put something on it as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Some people welcome crabgrass because it's the only thing they can grow.
I've seen that. unfortunately.
So anyway, I haven't seen any of mine. I use some pre-emergent on that in the fall and a little bit this spring. Put down some pre-emergent Surflan, and it worked. I don't have any crabgrass yet, so it's working. So anyway, you got to kind of be proactive on that to keep it under control.
Got it.
So that's kind of it on lawns. Make sure the mower is just good and sharp, the blade's good and sharp. I got to take mine off tomorrow and sharpen it real good. I did a little bit of gumming of the yard yesterday.
Get a balance
Now. Instead of cutting it, it kind of gummed it to death. So I need to sharpen the blade. So that's coming up too. So.
Oh, my.
So anyway, that's kind of it with lawns, really. Yeah. And on the Bermuda grass, you do want to fertilize it, say, once a month. Just a slow application of fertilizer, mm-hmm. just to maintain the color. You don't want this feast and famine. And I understand that if it's really dry, it's difficult to water that grass, too. If you don't have a sprinkler system, it's difficult to water that much surface area at a time. So you can fertilize an area at a time, but then irrigate that, and then move on to the next one. You don't have to do it all at once.
Got it.
Okay.
All right. It is 8:30. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of the Green Country Gardener program after this two-minute timeout.
What do you do if you really need a better vehicle, but you have bad credit? Come talk with your friends at Roman Chevrolet Buick in Independence. Roman's not only has the ability, but also the desire to get anyone approved for a vehicle. They are your one-stop shop. They'll buy your old vehicle, help you find a great ride, and now help with financing, no matter how bad your credit is. Get more details from Roman Chevrolet Buick, 2313 West Main in Independence. Romans, with financing for everyone.
With summer coming on, that means home painting projects. Peters True Value in Dewey has Easy Care 365 interior and exterior paint primer for $28.99 and up per gallon. Get Easy Care Woodsman exterior stain for natural or pre-treated wood for $41.99 and up per gallon. A gallon of Easy Care Platinum interior and exterior paint primer is $45.99 and up. And Peters has Easy Care Ultra Premium exterior and interior paint primer for $37.99 and up per gallon. Painting just got easier at Peters True Value in Dewey.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
Spring is here at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. And Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of annuals, perennials, herbs, trees, and shrubs arriving daily. It's a must-see what they have in stock. Get ready for spring at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home to Bartlesville's largest plant selection. Discount days are back. Every Wednesday, take 10% off regular priced items. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5, Sunday.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. It's the Green Country Gardener Program with Larry Glass. I'm Tom Davis, and your phone calls are welcome at 1-800-749-5936. Larry, we've got a call coming right up. Hi, good morning. Welcome to the program. How can we help you today?
Good morning. Hey, Larry, that 59 Ford you were admiring is probably going to the Stray Cats car show in Dewey this morning.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's it. I always miss that every year because I'm too busy.
Well, I understand that. Yeah. It's just that I've been through Dewey a couple times this morning, and there's a bunch of beautiful vehicles up there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess I can go there for lunch, perhaps.
That sounds like a plan, really. It does.
I hope they got hot dogs and funnel cakes, yeah.
No. Well, I'm sure there's a couple of food trucks up there for sure.
Yeah. No.
All right. Well, very good. Thanks for calling.
You guys have a blessed day.
You too now. I think Dewey for lunch sounds like a plan to me.
Yeah. Okay. So, anyway, we're talking about grass.
Yep.
And you might, in your beds also.
Mm-hmm.
A good way to control weeds is in your beds is a good layer of mulch. Now, that would be impractical in a lawn, actually, but mm-hmm. it works rather well in a bed.
Got it.
And nothing really helps the appearance of your garden, say your shrub beds around the house, mm-hmm. like a fresh layer of mulch. Mm-hmm. So we do have, at this point at the nursery, bulk mulch. It's a very economical way to go about applying mulch to the bed.
Truckloads?
Truckloads, yeah. We got a big old one ton that dump it in your driveway.
There you go.
And it's not that difficult. You get a flat shovel or a snow scoop or a snow shovel.
Yeah, it's not that heavy.
And it's not that heavy. Pick it up, throw it in the wheelbarrow, yeah. and apply it. It's a lot easier than trying to rip open a bag. And
it'll watch it go everywhere.
But anyway, yeah. and what I like about this mulch is it's the quality of it. Mm-hmm. It's so uniform, and the strands are kind of linear. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of mulches you get in the bag that basically looks like chopped wood. Uh-huh. And sometimes a little piece of wood will get by, and it just happens to be the same thickness as the wood on a pallet. So.
Oh, really now?
Yes. So you want to, the advantage of the bulk mulch is you can come by the nursery and you can go back and look at it and actually see what you're going to get, too. And it smells good also. Mm-hmm. So anyway, mulch on the beds does a lot to enhance the appearance of your shrub beds, and also it does help control moisture loss, mm-hmm. and it also helps keep weeds under control. Mm-hmm. Now, how much do I need?
How much?
Oh, well, measure your area.
Yes.
And multiply it, multiply the length times the width, mm-hmm. and then do that times 0.25, and that'll tell you how many cubic feet you need.
Got it.
And we mm-hmm. sell it, our Bobcat has a 10 cubic foot bucket, so 10 foot increments. You don't want to come in and say, well, I need 9.8 cubic feet. Just get 10 cubic feet.
Yeah, you things will get displaced, trust me, between here and there and where it's going. Yeah,
but anyway, so that'll kind of tell you how much you need. So just a few simple calculations will give you an idea.
Got it.
So anyway, bulk mulch, good stuff. Also, as it warms up, we're going to be having some difficulty maybe with some insects and things. I haven't seen a lot of mite outbreaks yet, spider mites.
Is it too cold for them?
Yeah, it's been a little chilly yet.
Yeah.
Typically, they come out when it gets warmer or a warm afternoon sun. We have problems with mites. And that's kind of why I don't like to plant dwarf Alberta spruce on the mm-hmm. west side of the house, next to the house. Because by the time our truck hits the curb, the spider mites will be all over it.
Oh, my.
So there are alternative plants you can use in that situation, such as a trimmed up English boxwood to work very well. Okay. Although they do get mites, mm-hmm. but they're more easy to control on boxwood, say. It'll recover better mm-hmm. than that. So most of these narrow upright plants, with the exception of the Yaupon holly, you can get some Kettleri or narrow upright growing Yaupon hollies, mm-hmm. and they don't get the mites.
As
the boxwoods and the dwarf Alberta spruce. So narrow upright plants are difficult on the west side of the house.
Got it.
So anyway, so those are coming in. I've seen a little bit of bore damage on some trees already this year, mm-hmm. and so that's coming on to the winter. Doesn't seem to have too much of an effect on it, but some of the insect populations are diminished somewhat.
All right. Let's see if we've got a call here real quick. Hi, good morning, and welcome to the Green Country Gardener Program. You're on with Larry. Question or comment, please.
Thank you. I have a whole big old patch of black-eyed Susan. If I dug them up and transplant them, will they go ahead and bloom this year?
Sure.
If I transplant them? Okay, yeah, I didn't know if it'd shock them.
get as much dirt as possible underneath them. You might take a shovel and do a circular cut into the soil. And lift it up that way, then they can do that. I transplanted some boxwoods, 2 days ago, and they're fine. So.
Oh, great, great. Okay, thanks a lot.
All righty, thank you for your calling. Yeah, yeah. Black-eyed Susans, bulletproof, and very showy actually. Mm. Got to give them room to grow though. Huh.
Got to give them some space. And they spread out.
They take our climate too.
They do, yeah.
They the cold weather. They go ha.
and, I got your cold weather.
And the wet weather, they go, ha. Same with the hot weather, ha. So, and they're really quite showy, so. Mm-hmm. But they need a little bit of room. You'll plan on them getting larger and getting bigger every year.
You got it.
So, yeah. So, they're pretty cool plants. Irrigation systems, too. We've been putting them in for about 35, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the technology has gotten better over the years on those, too. I wouldn't put it a sprinkler system without either a Wi-Fi controlled timer or without a rain sensor at least, because water is expensive.
Yeah, yes. They say it's going to get better, but it's still
expensive. Put them in from somebody that said, "Oh, now that I got this in, I can't afford the water." You know, So you want to use your water very wisely. And I had a customer come in and said, "My gosh, my water bill is just outrageous, and we have to just water our front yard so much, and half of it runs out on the street."
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's liquid gold going down the road there. So you want to manage your irrigation system. And really, if you do have a slope on your sprinkler system, you get a lot of runoff. Most of the timers now have their sort of like computer-like controlled, if you will. Have a caller?
Yeah.
I'll put them on.
Hi, good morning. Welcome to the Green Country Gardener Program. You're on with Larry. Question or comment, please?
Well, just wanted to ask about back to when he was talking about the spider mites and the upright plants, and I have some sky pencil holly on my west side.
Uh-huh.
Is that something I need to be watching out for?
The sky pencil is a type of Japanese holly, and I really have not seen any serious infestation of spider mites on them. So that's one that's pretty clear of that.
Great.
They don't like them too well. But you do still want to keep an eye on that and other things too. So they don't like a high pH. They like a little acidic type soil and good drainage.
And good drainage. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
And thank you very much for your call. And you can be next in line if you'd like. And our number is toll free, 1-800-749-5936. It is the Green Country Gardener program. Let's go ahead and take a little bit of a break. We'll be back after this 2-minute timeout.
Focus on the Family, the Trials of Mom moment is brought to you by Grace Community Church.
Hi, this is Rod McElvain, pastor of Grace Community Church. Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Jesus proved his love by laying down his life for the world and then rising from the dead. So now he's the quintessential example of love. If you want to encounter a love that's supernatural, you can come directly to the source of it, Jesus Christ. And if you're looking for a place to experience that love in community, check us out. Our services are Sundays at 9:30 and 11 or streaming online at gccbartlesville.org.
Mom, do you remember the sacrifices?
I just never worried about it before, you know?
The surprises?
Computer, I need a clean diaper, 2 dozen handy wipes, please, quick!
The struggles.
Franklin, come back here and finish your bath!
The problems.
Mom, I forgot my volcano for the science fair!
And the triumphs.
I know a few secrets myself.
The trials?
Meredith!
Hi, Mom. Any calls for me?
Where have you been?
And the tears.
Well, Skip, Brittany's getting married this summer, and I just don't see how we're going to pay for everything.
Or do you just remember your baby and the love you had for this child, this miracle, this precious gift? Your baby may have left your home, but she'll never leave your heart. And after all, isn't that what makes all the trials of mom worthwhile? A Mother's Day message from Focus on the Family and this station.
Focus on the Family, the Trials of Mom moment has been brought to you by Grace Community Church.
This is News Radio K1, AM 1400 and 93.3 FM, and online at bartlesvilleradio.com.
And a good little breezy morning to you here. It's right now 65 degrees, a few clouds. We're at 8:42, and our phone line is open here at the Green Country Gardener Program with our expert Larry Glass, 1-800-749-5936. Lawrence?
Yes, on your irrigation system, we were talking about that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You might, if you do have an area that's sloped, and it can be difficult to water, especially if you use, say, spray heads on your irrigation rather than rotary heads. There's a difference. There's two types of sprinkler heads.
Yeah.
A spray head, which pops up and has a little spray that comes out, and a rotary head, which comes out and it goes a very long distance and goes back and forth. Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, golf course thing.
Yeah. Although you can still get the 2045A rotors.
Yeah.
But they're becoming less used, and most of them are gear-driven rotors now.
You ever been nailed by one of those? When it just turned on, Nell said, psh, gotcha.
Yes.
Yes. That's got to be a little bit of a fun feeling.
In fact, yesterday I got zinged real good. we're charging up a sprinkler system and testing it out. See how well it did in the winter, no problems.
Yeah.
But I was talking to the customer, and pow, I got hit in the back. Ooh, that's cold. But anyway, the rotary heads distribute water at a slower rate than the spray heads. So I try not to use spray heads on a hill. And one thing about the timers, the digital timers, mm-hmm. you can have up to four programs on them with three startups plus on each one. So what you want to do in a given area is distribute water at the rate of 1 inch per week.
Ah.
So typically the spray heads distribute water, I don't remember, about 2 or 3 inches per hour or something.
And gotcha.
Then rotary heads maybe a half inch an hour or something. And that'll kind of, you look at the specifications of your sprinkler heads, and your installer should be able to supply you with information showing at what rate the precipitation is being applied to your surface. And then they can make a recommendation as to how much it should run every week, too. So that should be part of the deal. Now, these sprinkler systems have to be engineered, not just simply installed, but engineered.
Engineered, we're saying.
You bet. Yeah. You know, not only do we have to engineer them for the rate of precipitation, but also freeze damage and so on, too.
Okay.
We have to make them self-draining and et cetera, et cetera, and so they don't get busted up in the cold. But anyway, on those sloped areas, you can apply water at a certain time and then let it stop. Say, for instance, instead of running it 15 minutes, you might want to run it, say, 3 minutes. And then let it stop, and then an hour later, let it go 3 minutes, and let it stop like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it can percolate into the ground. Now we have a lot of clay in our soil, and percolation rate's kind of slow.
Yeah, it is with
so
clay.
So if you do have a slope, you want to apply it in increments rather than altogether. Go ahead and you can calculate how much time is required in mm-hmm. a given week in order to apply an inch, mm-hmm. and then break that up into subparts. So you can use program A for everything. And then you might do a B and a C and a D program and let this spray a little bit, spray a little bit, spray a little bit, so you don't waste all that water. Because all that water that goes down the curb is just kind of a waste, and that will let you save. I don't water it three times. I'll use more water. No.
No.
You're not wasting the water.
No, you're being more efficient with it. Let's exactly. go to the telephones here. We've got another caller. Welcome to the Green Country Gardener Program. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I was watching I think it's called Oklahoma Gardening Show, put on by Oklahoma State.
Yes.
And they were highlighting the irrigation system that basically has one head in the center of the yard, and then it's programmable as to the length of the spray. So mm-hmm. as it goes around the yard, there's more or less spray. I was wondering if Larry was familiar with that.
A single sprinkler head in the middle of the yard?
Yes.
that really might work in an ideal situation. But really, your sprinkler system designer will go ahead and design a system that will work with varying soil conditions and slope and land use and all that. So... It's probably a good idea in an ideal situation, yes. But a single sprinkler head can have difficulty with wind and application in areas where the wind might be blowing, and you're going to get some dry spots here and there, I would say.
Okay. Yeah, I hadn't considered wind.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, I was just curious as to you.
Yeah.
Whether you'd seen those or done those or...
Yeah, not really. Most people's yards are not round either, so...
Well, it conforms to the shape of the yard by the programming.
Really?
That's the interesting thing.
Wow.
But, yeah.
That's interesting.
Huh. Okay. That's something I'll have to explore. It's an interesting concept.
Yeah, I thought so. And And another question, do you find that you have trouble here? Like, my yard is basically a little bit of dirt and a whole lot of rock.
Yes.
Is that... How do you do that?
What do you say there, limestone, Larry?
Hey, get you an excavator and start again. No, really, if you have a lot of rock, then not much you can do about that, really.
Haul okay. in more dirt.
Yeah, you could use, a grass that's more tolerant of drought. Say, just U3 Bermuda grass. And there's some I can't think of the name of it, but there's a native grass, buffalo grass, might be a solution too.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you.
All right.
Thank
thanks you. For calling.
We'll have to check into that single head sprayer thing that's programmable. That's kind of cool.
Well, yeah. Until the power glitches, you wind up washing your car or something. I don't know.
Goodness sakes.
Yeah, something like that. You really have to be kind of technically
savvy, yeah.
Anyway, we have a caller.
Yeah, we do. Hi, good morning. You're on the air with Larry. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
I got the berry bush. It might be raspberry. I forget now. But the reason I got it, because it was a bush. But it's not. It's got runners this year. Now it's just taking over everywhere. I don't know, it feels like something out of science fiction. I've got these things cropping up. Can those be transplanted? Can I kind of whack off those runners and plant them in something else? Or
sure, you can.
Like, give it to my daughter and let it take over, you know, her yard.
Give her something to do.
Yeah.
Well.
But it actually had berries the first year.
Good deal.
I mean, it was only a little handful, but I was kind of impressed. But I mean, it's just taking over.
Yeah, there's one fact of these. Perhaps it's a grafted plant. They're actually grafting tomatoes now, too.
Yeah.
So, and what happened was it got really cold, probably killed off the top stock. And what you have is the root graft. And it's true with roses, too. The old-fashioned, the hybrid tea roses, they'll put a wild rose for a root stock. And they do that because they have a more aggressive root system. And you can get bigger roses, just like on the berry bush. You can get bigger, more berries because there's more root system to feed this top stock. And what happens is the top stock, if the top stock dies off, the bottom stock has it wants to live, so it starts to send out some growth. So that's probably what's happened.
So it killed the bush part and kept the runners?
Yes.
Oh,
now
great.
look at the leaves on it too. There'll be a difference in the size and shape of the leaf between the top stock and the bottom stock. Typically,
okay.
the top stock will have leaves associated closer to each other, and the bottom stock will have them further apart, and so on and so on. There'll be some physiological differences between the top and the bottom stock.
Okay. But they're just running everywhere. Well, so then that should be a good thing, then, if this is the hardy part that's coming up in runners instead of a bush.
Yeah, it's probably just some old-fashioned type. And you want to build a structure on which for it to grow.
So how do I transplant those runners? I just yank them up and stick them in dirt?
Sounds to me like they'll do it very well. you do want to have some soil attached to the to the roots in there for it to really successfully transplant.
Okay, so they'll still live even though they're not attached.
It sounds to me
like
they're very tenacious, so they should survive quite well.
Okay.
And
they're starting to crawl around the air conditioning unit, and
my goodness,
I'm going up the lobby. Yeah, really.
I think these are
coming through the door. There's just.
It's not like something that came in on a flying saucer from the planet Zobor or somewhere.
Well, it really
Miller
feels
saw those
that
spaceships.
Way. And do they like sun better than shade?
Yeah, the more sun, the better.
Yeah.
That's another
the issue then. They don't want to stay up against the building. They're leaning out over the sidewalk.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. The berry plants like that, I've got a customer who has kind of a berry farm out there, and it's way out in the open. And golly, he has a ton of berries on his plants.
Oh, wow.
But he built a trellis, a structure for them to grow on.
Okay. I wonder if he would like to adopt one. I don't want to kill it.
Well, Brian, if you're listening, Brian, maybe we can get her phone number.
That's it. Give me a call. Well, thank you so much. And I don't need any special dirt. Is my regular potting soil that I got from you guys okay?
That'll help you get started real well, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to send some to Missouri and some to Texas. Next day we may hear this news story of something's taken over.
Yeah, you're doing your part to green up the planet.
There you go.
There we go.
All
right. We're going to bury it up.
All right. Okay. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you very, very much. We're going to take a quick time out. We'll be back in 1 minute, 10 seconds for all you folks on the network lines after this 1 minute, 10 second timeout.
In 1939, James Farley, the former chairman of the Democratic National Committee and Franklin Roosevelt's Postmaster General, traveled to Bartlesville, Oklahoma to meet with Frank Phillips. This was a special meeting, and for Frank, a bit different. As Farley did not come to visit about oil or banking, he had another purpose. He came to Bartlesville to try to convince Mr. Phillips to buy the New York Yankees baseball team. The former owner had died in 1939, and Farley and others felt that Frank had the resources necessary to buy the ball club. Already a wonderful dynasty with such greats as Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig leading the way, the Yankees were known worldwide and would certainly provide great personal and professional exposure to Frank and to Phillips Petroleum. After much consideration, Frank decided not to buy the Yankees, and despite their continued success, he never regretted that decision. As he told his friends, "I just couldn't buy them. I've always been a National League man." Come enjoy the magic of Willow Rock, and welcome home to Willow Rock.
Good morning. Welcome back. It's time for your calls here at 1-800-749-5936, Green Country Gardener Program, right here on your favorite radio station with Larry Glass, our expert, our guru of all things green.
Okay. Anyway.
The jolly green guru.
Another thing on your sprinkler system to keep it run efficiently is to do a checkup.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the timers have what they call a test program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do with my customers. Turn it over to test, punch it down to 1 minute, hit the start button. Mm-hmm. And what that'll do is test the circuits. And you can walk around and follow it as it goes around the yard.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when you design a sprinkler system, have it go in a logical sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Front yard, side yard, all the way around. And provide a chart. Which shows where each one is.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no, well, is that the one, Mabel? I don't know. Let's try number four. Yeah, that kind of thing. So you know exactly what corresponds to the sprinkler valve, the circuit number. So if you're having difficulty with one or you want to adjust something, I don't remember what number that one was. You turn the light and you go back. You wasted, 50 gallons of water trying to figure out where to circuit is.
So, my.
So having a full knowledge as to where the area is being irrigated to by a map of some kind will help things out a whole lot.
Charting works wonders.
Exactly. So, I got a problem in circuit number six. You turn the little dial number six, hit the start button, you go out there and look at it. You don't have to ramble through everything. It's so funny. I go to people's houses. They don't know where the stuff is.
And next thing you know, Larry gets hit in the back with a spray.
Yeah. But anyway, at the nursery, we've got a great selection of annuals right now. Mm-hmm. We have sun patients and regular impatiens.
Mm-hmm.
Some caladiums and other things for the garden. vegetable plants. We got tons of tomatoes, and we got some big tomato plants, too.
Big tomatoes.
Like a three-month ahead of the game, yeah. You'd be the first one on your block to have tomatoes.
That seems to be a big thing.
Some of that. We're getting some new stuff in this year. The growers are starting to release some of their shrubs. They know they're going to make it okay, so they're releasing them. Okay. So we're getting some crepe myrtles coming in this week. We're getting excited about that. And dogwood trees, other things. We sold a lot of dogwood trees. They really put on a really big show this year. The Korean dogwoods are starting to make a show right now. So they bloom later. They have flowers born above the leaves. And they're kind of pretty, really. And I think the flowers last a little bit longer on a Korean dogwood than they do a Cornus Florida. And they don't get anthracnose as bad as some of the other ones, too. So they're a good plant to have.
There you go. Well-behaved.
Uh-huh. And all kinds of fertilizers for your garden. Too, and bulbs. We have gladiolus bulbs, elephant ear bulbs, and stuff, and a great selection of hibiscus. Hibiscus is a very popular pot plant to have throughout the summer. They bloom all summer long, but the heart of hibiscus aren't ready. We're not releasing them yet. We want to make sure they're going to grow and do well in the landscape before. And they come up late. They like it really kind of warm. So the hard hibiscus are on the way. The tropical hibiscus are in, and they're really exhibiting some good colors. And check out some of the new colors, too. Pretty cool. And anyway, before you do all that, keep that shovel sharp. We will see you next week.
Thank you, Larry. News is coming up next.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville, K227C.